Blog Talk Radio.
This ain't no ordinary world. This ain't no ordinary song, yeah. The God of sin is greater than the ordinary. So I'ma give them all I have.
Yes, no ordinary worship. No ordinary worship tonight. Come on and just give God praise wherever you are. Just begin to thank God. Just begin to magnify his name. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Oh, we just give God praise. This is another day that he's blessed us. Are you excited about Jesus? Are you excited, hallelujah, about all of his many blessings on your life? Welcome to Real Talk Grown Folks Bible Study, live on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Evangelist Attorney Rossi Williams, and we have a powerful word for you tonight as we rightly divide the word of truth to empower you to everyday success. So I welcome you here tonight. And I remind you that we are here live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern for Real Talk, Grown Folks Bible Study, and live every Monday through Friday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern for Daily Fire, Hot Manna for Your Soul. You can tune in to both podcasts from my ministry website, rossi.org. rawsi.org, or call in by dialing 323-870-4180. But the best way to ensure that you never miss a teaching is to follow the podcast, so the recording will be text to you of Daily Fire at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday if you can't tune in live. And on Wednesday nights, you'll receive a reminder text when Real Talk goes live. Follow by texting the message DF to phone number 33222. Again, text the message or letters DF, D as in daily, F as in fire, to phone number 33222. Tonight, we are in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12. Verses 1 through 12. And while you are getting your Bibles ready, let me just remind you of the ground rules for Real Talk Grown Folks Bible Study. Again, that is the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. On Real Talk, I actually allow you to ask questions because this is Bible study. You do not have to say your name. And I do take your prayer request before we pray at the end. So if you have a question, for those of you who have called in, press 1 on your phone and it will place you into my queue. And I will bring you on air by the last 4 numbers or 4 digits of your number. You'll never have to say your name. For those who are tuned in online, you can type your question and I will read it aloud for everyone. And then we will answer it on air. All right, let's go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. We are reading from the KJV. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were 2 men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing, save 1 little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Now listen to David's response. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Now listen to what Nathan the prophet said to David. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised, two more verses, the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hath slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, here is the Lord's punishment for David's actions. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Many of you remember her name was Bathsheba. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Last verse. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Come on and tell God amen for the reading of his word. Our topic for tonight is breaking down self-imposed obstacles. Breaking down self-imposed obstacles. Repeat that after me. Breaking down self-imposed obstacles. For a lot of people, we find ourselves as we grow older not having accomplished all of the things that we want to have accomplished in life. And a lot of times we're dealing with regret, right? You know, I wish I would have done it. I could have. I should have. And so we find ourselves locked in the inner dilemma of trying to move forward while also being remorseful about the things that we know we could have done, but that we failed to do. But the problem that lies within dealing with that dilemma for a lot of us is that instead of looking inward as to why we have not reached our goals or why we are not living our God-ordained purpose and best lives, we tend to deflect the accountability for our failures onto other people. Well, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, so that's why I don't have the finances that someone else has. Or I grew up in a single parent home. That's why I really couldn't make it. Or my mother was the victim of domestic violence, and so I never really learned how a man should love and treat a woman. And that's why I keep recycling through the same negative generational curses in my relationship. And while it is true that there are certainly things in life over which we had no control, which affected us, such as who your parents are, how much money you had growing up, what schools they sent you to, their own, you know, desires and mentalities, how they treated you, while it's true we have no control over that, at some point in life, you must be willing to understand that you do have control over what is going on with you right now. Oh, that's good, right? Because this is grown folks' Bible study. So I don't come here to coddle you and just, you know, make you feel good, because making you feel good won't empower you to the successful life that God has already ordained for you. So here in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 12 that I just read unto you, this is the place where we find David. This is his position. So David is king. He has succeeded Saul as king. And Saul was the first king of Israel. You know, God chose him, but Israel just, before they didn't even have a king, but they wanted a king like other people. So God gave them Saul. That didn't work out. And so then David became king. And David decided that he wanted someone else's wife, that being Bathsheba. So he would look over there and see Bathsheba bathing. And although he knew he had a call of God on his life and that God had, you know, sent Samuel to anoint him to be king, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and that desire to be with her, it was more important to him at the time than God's calling on his life. You ever been there? This is real talk, grown folks Bible study. I can't hear you, so you can answer because all the lines are muted. And it's okay because I've been there. I've been saved for many years, over two decades. But yes, there have been times in my life that doing something else was more important than what God told me to do. Not that I said that, you see. Not that I admitted it, brothers and sisters. But my actions, just as with David, evidenced it. Isn't this good teaching? See, God is not focused on what you're saying with your lips. He's focused on how you live in your life, because how you live your life is the evidence of the priority he holds in your life. So David, he wanted Bathsheba, but the problem was that she was married. And her husband, he was a leader in the military. His name was Uriah. So what David did is he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Of course, she was not going to refuse him. He was the king. And he got her pregnant. Oh, my God, he's now caught up. So what do I do? Well, instead of him repenting of that sin, he did what we usually do, right? We try to cover up one sin with another sin. So he then called for Uriah to come in from war so that Uriah would go in and sleep with his wife Bathsheba and think that the baby was his baby. The problem with that was when Uriah came in, I'm giving you the backdrop. Uriah was such a man of integrity that he said, I can't go in there and lie with my wife and find pleasure in the sexual intimacy with my wife while my men are still out on the line, so he wouldn't go sleep with his wife. Now, here again, David had another opportunity, right, to just repent and make this right, but he wanted to cover up his sin now with another sin, self-imposed obstacles that block your success. So what he did is he sent Uriah back out to battle, but this time he strategized and made the command that Uriah would be put on the front line so that Uriah would be killed, and then he could now take Bathsheba into wife. And that's what happened. So then the Lord sends Nathan unto David, and that's where we are in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 12 that I read unto you. And like the, you know, the religious leaders so often did, and even as Jesus did in the New Testament, they would come to the person with a parable, not just outright accuse them, but let the person be drawn in to his or her own sin. And then, as we do as attorneys, elicit the admission. And that's what he did. So Nathan gives David this story. He said, look, there's this rich man. He had a whole lot of sheep, had a whole lot of lambs and everything. And then there's this poor man. He has only one lamb. So a traveler comes by to visit the rich man. This is what he's telling David. And instead of the rich man taking from one of his own many, many flock to feed the traveler, he decides to take advantage of the poor man and take the poor man's one little lamb, which was all the poor men had. And that lamb was like a daughter to him. Well, David, in his self-righteous anger, rose up and said, who is that person? Tell me who it is. Because this man is going to surely be put to death. He's going to surely have to restore the lamb fourfold. He had no pity. He did this thing. Self-righteousness. That's another self-imposed obstacle, isn't it? That blocks success. When we can see the sin of everybody but ourselves. And once Nathan had David right where he wanted him, on the witness stand, then he said, I'm glad you said it, David. I'm glad you said that man deserves the punishment of death. I'm glad you acknowledged that what he did was wrong because you are the man. Thou art the man. And because of what you've done, God has said that he's going to raise up punishment and judgment in your own house. Tonight we're talking about breaking down self-imposed obstacles. You see, brothers and sisters, we will make mistakes. Just make no doubt about it, because the only perfect being is Jesus Christ. We will sin. We will do things that are not the right things to do. But the problem lies when we do like David did, that instead of seeing ourselves in our sin and admitting our sin and repenting of our sins, we instead buck up and want to just point out every other thing instead of taking accountability. The inability to take accountability for your actions is an overwhelming obstacle to your success. Nobody likes a person who always wants to blame everyone else for his or her failures. How long will you blame mother or father for not giving you the best life as a kid, and you're now 40 years old? You're 45, 50, you're 30. You've been grown at least 10 years. Somewhere in those 10 years, you ought to have realized that continuing to allow yourself to live underneath the blame of what my parents did as a child is an impediment to you living your best life. Why? Because it brings with it inherent bitterness, inherent resentment. You're always going to be angry and harsh because you're never living in the here and now, breaking down self-imposed obstacles. At some point, you must be willing to release the people for what they did in the past. Not so much as to help them, because I promise you they're sleeping well at night. That's one thing I had to learn in life. The people who do you wrong, that's just their hearts. They have low-down hearts. They're not tossing and turning at night because they did you low-down. They're not tossing and turning at night because they gossiped about you or backstabbed you, defamed your name, slandered you. They not tossing and turning at night because they took your husband, took your wife. They don't care because they got you fired. That's their nature. You have to give them over to God. But you are here blocking your own success by going around worrying about what they've done to you, hoping they get their karma. You got to let go. This is part of breaking down self-imposed obstacles. Some of you, even now, you are repeating generational curses. Your grandmother or grandfather was an alcoholic. Your dad or mom was an alcoholic. So you're walking around saying, well, I can't help but be an alcoholic. It's in my blood. The devil is a lie. Naturally, it might be in your blood. You may really have a genetic predisposition for these things, but 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man or any woman be in Christ, behold, you are a new creature. The old things have passed away. If you will submit yourself to Christ, submit your sin, your family, your generational curses, you don't have to be, glory, who they were. You don't have to be addicted to drugs because your parents were. You don't have to drop out of school because your parents did. You don't have to be in an abusive relationship because that's all you grew up seeing. No, you have the God-given anointing, glory, to speak into the atmosphere under the name of Jesus and change your life. Hallelujah. Breaking down self-imposed obstacles. Now, I want to share with you what David did after Nathan confronted David with this and informed David of God's sentence upon his life. David then did the first thing necessary to break down self-imposed obstacles. He repented. I said he repented. See, a lot of times the reason you can't break down your obstacles is that you apologize, but you don't repent. There is a distinct and substantial difference. An apology is just telling the person, I'm sorry. And it's really just to try to relieve yourself from what happened. A lot of times it's not even sincere. It's just, let me say this so I won't have to deal with it anymore. But repentance is not only a true remorse, but a turning away from what you've done so that you don't live and evidence that kind of behavior anymore. So it said later on in verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. See, when you repent of whatever it is wrong that you have done, and you make amends if possible, sometimes you can't because the situation was not one that is conducive for you to be able to go to the person and apologize, because going to the person may even open up the door of more hostility. But you still must repent unto the Lord and acknowledge the wrong you've done. And then God will do for you what he did for David right there. He said, the Lord has put away your sin, glory, and you shall not die. Now, I don't have time to read the rest of that because of time's sake here on Real Talk. But I want to share with you, if you get further down into that chapter, you will find what's interesting, though, is that although God forgave David and put away the sin, David still had to go through the consequence of the sin, because what God told him is that the child that you fathered by Bathsheba shall die. And it tells of how David fasted, prayed, did all of this to try to prevent that, but it didn't prevent it. See, that's the second step, brothers and sisters, of breaking down self-imposed obstacles, is that you must be willing to deal with the consequence of what you did. Isn't this a good word? I said you must be willing to deal with the consequence of what you did. See, for example, a man will go out and he'll cheat on his wife. And sometimes he may get the mistress or the side chick pregnant. Then he comes back and his wife decides that she's going to forgive him and reconcile the marriage. And if you've done that, that's on you. I don't judge anyone for it. I can't see myself doing that, but your marriage is your marriage. And so if you decide you're going to forgive your husband, he's cheated on you, you've reconciled, then I pray for you that it works out. And I pray that sincerely, because if the marriage can be restored and you want it restored, I want it restored with you. But then the husband, when the wife says, well, we need to go to counseling, or, you know, we need to set these boundaries in place to make sure this doesn't happen again, then the husband gets mad. I thought you forgave me. I thought you said that you forgave me. If you forgave me, it's over. You shouldn't be putting these boundaries in place. The devil is another lie. No. I forgave you. That released you from the spiritual taint of it, that you should not die, that our marriage should not die. But the consequences, the betrayal of the trust, the betrayal of the marriage and the hurt you imposed upon me, it's still here, and you got to deal with it, just like David had to deal with the consequence of his sin. We're talking about breaking down self-imposed obstacles. You see, brothers and sisters, God wants the best for you. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible lets us know that God will do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. That's what he wants to do in your life. Exceeding, but not only exceeding your expectations, but he wants to go above your expectations. In Deuteronomy 28:13, the Bible teaches us that God will make us the head and not the tail if we pay attention to the commandments of the Lord. In Psalm 139:14, God says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Each one of you listening to me tonight has a gift. Each one of you has a talent. And some of you have more than one gift and more than one talent. It isn't more than one talent. It is not God's desire that you be broke, busted, and disgusted. It is not God's desire that you live beneath the blessings that he has for you. It is not God's desire that you are depressed, that you are discouraged, that you are walking around envious of others, nor comparing yourself to others, because God created you, glory, just how he wanted you to be. But he can't give you all he has for you if you are walking around putting up obstacles everywhere you go. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is what God wants for you. John 10:10. The thief comes not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. This is Jesus speaking. But I have come that you might have life, glory, and have it more abundantly. God needs you to remove the obstacles out of the way. God needs you to quit being your own worst enemy. He wants you tonight to realize, hallelujah, that you need to repent of your wrongdoing, and then you need to deal with the consequences, and then you just need to open yourself up to receive the best that God has for you. Sometimes, some of the obstacles will be your attitude. Maybe you have a bad attitude, and you call it just keeping it real or just being 100. But as the old folks used to say, your attitude will affect your altitude. I don't care how educated you are, how gifted you are. I don't care how much money you have. If you got a bad attitude, sooner or later, no one will want to deal with you. Maybe the obstacle is, as I just explained, your unwillingness to let go of the past. Maybe your obstacle is also your unwillingness to move forward into your future. And this can have many causes. It can be fear. Most people fear change. They will stay in a bad situation rather than move to a change or a new situation because people are comfortable where they are familiar. Or maybe it's because you have low self-esteem. Maybe people have spoken so much negativity about you and to you that you've internalized it and begin to believe it as opposed to God's words about you. Maybe it is that you fear failure. If I had the time to tell you how many times I failed in opening my own business before I was an attorney and I was consulting as a registered nurse, if I only had the time to tell you how many trials and errors I went through in opening my own law office, people see me now, right? They see the office, they see the Maserati, they see the red bottoms, they see all the purses. But woo, if they met me when I first opened it, if I could tell you how many times I almost closed down, this is transparency. I need you to understand that I'm not perfect. What I'm teaching you, I had to live through myself. If they knew how many times I was almost broke trying to help people to the point where it was to my own financial detriment. If you knew how many dates I went through just trying to get to the right person. If you knew how many times I've cried into my pillow at night, glory to Jesus. If you knew all of my struggles, hallelujah, then you would understand the victory of me teaching this to you tonight. Because once I removed myself out of the way, once I acknowledged my own sin, my own failure, my own mistakes, once I could be true enough to myself, glory, to realize that God had better for me and I wasn't living it, then I was able to move on to victory. Now, we're getting ready, hallelujah, to go into prayer. But if you have any questions or comments before we go into prayer, I will take them now. For those of you who are tuned in via phone, you can press 1 on your phone. It'll place you in my queue, and I'll bring you in by the last 4 numbers of your phone number. For example, I'll say caller number 1234. For those of you tuned in online, if you have a question or comment, a prayer request, you can type it in, and I will address that as well. So I'm going to prepare to go into prayer, and I'm going to start our prayer music. If I don't see that I have any questions or anything, we'll go straight into prayer. But I encourage you tonight to understand that there's so much more to you than what you are living right now. Hallelujah. Let's get ready to go into prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we come tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you and we give you praise. Father, we just glorify you for this word tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we just give you the praise. Father, you are so worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. 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 I am so sorry. So many people are saying they tried to tune in for some reason, the online cut off. I apologize for you, but Lord, we just tonight, we lift up everyone, Jesus, and we just ask, Father, that you just bless tonight, Lord, that you just bless everyone who was tuned in online, Lord, that you bless all of those who are tuned in via the phone tonight, Lord, because we want to break down self-imposed obstacles. We want to move self out of the way, God. We want to live our best life. We want to receive all that you have. We are tired of recycling through the same problems, the same tests, the same tasks, the same generational curses, the same negative relationships, the same unproductive scenarios. God, glory. We know you have better. Help us, Lord, to repent. Help us, Father. Help us to acknowledge our sin and to move forward in you. Help us to deal with our consequences and to go forward in you, Lord. We just thank you tonight. We just thank you tonight. We just thank you tonight, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone say amen, glory. Glory, just begin to praise the Lord wherever you are. You will no longer be your own worst enemy. Now I'm going to do the altar call and we'll end with our task for tonight because our time has run. For those of you who are unsaved or backslidden or just who feel you need to rededicate yourself to Christ again, please repeat after me. Father, I come in Jesus' name. I repent and ask forgiveness of my sins. I come ask you to come into my life now and be my Savior. Now, Lord, I confess that I am saved. Glory. Now, Lord, I confess that I am rededicated to you. Now, Lord, I confess that I will no longer be my own worst enemy, but that I will live my best life henceforth and forevermore in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Just tell the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone, for tuning in tonight. Remember, tune in with me in the morning for Daily Fire at 7 a.m. Eastern or text VF to phone number 33222 so that you follow. And if you can't tune in live, you'll get the recording at 8 a.m. Remember, you can visit me at rawsi.org, rawsi.org, and I'll see you live in the morning and then again next Wednesday night. You are no longer who you were. The obstacles have been destroyed, and like a phoenix, you have risen from the ashes. Go forth in victory.
Are about to experience a life-changing moment. You won't leave the same way you came, 'cause he's in our very midst.